You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. For the rest of this hour, a sneak peek at a weighty issue on the minds of physicists next week, and that issue is gravity. A whole bunch of physicists are going to meet in Tucson to talk about gravity. Why gravity? So joining me now to talk about it is Dimitri Saltis, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Thanks for talking with us today, Dr. Saltis.
Nice to be on the program.
Why do scientists need to get together to talk about gravity?
Why do they need to talk together? Well, first of all, as scientists, we really like to meet and talk to each other about things. And what is really interesting about this conference that we're organizing is the fact that we're bringing scientists together from various different disciplines. We're bringing together people that do high-energy astrophysics, cosmologists, string theorists, people that do experiments for their labs. And the important point here is that gravity is such a force that that affects phenomena in all those scales. And I think this is going to be one of the very first and very few conferences where all of us are going to be sitting in the same room discussing this very important subject.
And what makes gravity so important?
Well, it is, first of all, the last force in our framework of physics that we cannot really understand. I mean, we understand it by itself, but we cannot understand it within the context of all the other forces. We do not have yet a satisfying, unifying theory that unifies gravity to, other forces of the microcosm, like, for example, electromagnetism, the strong force, the weak force. This is point number one. Point number two is that over the last 10 years or so, we have seen an enormous explosion of ideas and new observations that give us some interesting clues about gravity. Now we're talking about universes with many dimensions that only gravity can see, and cosmological observations tell us that most of the gravitational field in the universe is determined by things like dark energy and dark matter that we don't understand. So these are the two main reasons, I think, why we need to keep on talking about gravity.
1-800-989-8255 if you would like to talk about gravity. We're talking about it. Of course, Einstein said that gravity wasn't a distortion of the fabric of space, right? That
correct.
By massive objects.
Correct.
So one of the problems is how do you take a geometrical concept and move that into the quantum world, which deals with gravity being carried by particles, right?
Indeed. This is actually something, this is one of the main reasons why we've been having such a hard time unifying the forces, that our description of the gravitational field and our description of all the other forces are very, very different. There have been ways, there have been ideas trying to introduce ideas of the quantum world into gravity, ideas that go under the name of quantum gravity, or trying to reproduce the quantum world using ideas of general relativity, so talking about warping of space-time in more than our normal dimensions, and these ideas that have to do with string theory. We're not sure if any of the two are, at all, if there's any way of unifying those ideas together, but as physicists, our hope is that we will be able to find a theory that unifies all of them, and that's what drives physics to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that by getting a whole bunch of scientists in a room and locking a door, you can come to some of these answers?
That is a very interesting question, and that is actually the biggest challenge of this conference. As I said, it's wonderful that all of us from various different communities will be talking to each other. However, it's going to be difficult as well because, first of all, we're using, if you can believe that, very different terminology talking about the same phenomenon. But even more importantly, we come with different prejudices. So, for example, when we all go to the same conference in high-energy astrophysics and we read each other's publications, then we get to take some things for granted and be willing to give up some other things. And this is something different than a cosmologist would do, and this is something different that people in the string theory would do. So here we'll be sitting all together and trying to convince each other that each other's prejudices are what needs to be, mm-hmm. given up.
Mm-hmm. So you have the world of the very big, where gravity lives, right?
Yes.
And you have people who study that talking to people of the very small, of the subatomic world.
Correct.
Trying to find common ground someplace.
Correct.
Are there any experiments out there that we could do to solve some of this ambiguity about just what gravity is?
There are actually many different experiments and many different ideas. And to give you an idea of how you can actually use experiments from the micro world, even though not exactly the atomic world, and the universe to study the exact same thing, Let me bring up two new results that will be published this month, actually, in the Physical Review Letter, which is the premier publication of the American Physical Society. One is from the University of Washington, where they're testing ideas of universes with large extra dimensions by putting together masses at minuscule distances, about 2/1000ths of an inch, and they measure the gravitational force between them. And the other paper is from the University of Arizona, from our group here, when we are testing the exact same theories with large extra dimensions, by looking at how fast black holes evaporate, or actually how fast black holes do not evaporate in our galaxy. What is amazing to me is that both of these experiments, both of these studies, produced almost identical to within 50% constraints on the properties of these theories with large extra dimensions. And this is exactly the point, that you can do very similar physics looking at the cosmos, looking at black holes in the galaxy, and looking at an experiment on the tabletop in the lab.
Mm-hmm. Could it be that the particles of gravity that the quantum gravity people are looking for, could they be there, excuse me, but could they be the dark energy part that we don't know where, you know, could gravity actually exist in the dark energy side and peaks over here and begin, so we don't know what the particles are because it's in the dark energy that we have no idea what that is?
I will try to say this question in a slightly different way. The point is that Einstein's theory of general relativity really has one main equation, and one side of that equation tells you how strong the gravitational field is, and the other side of that equation tells you how much matter you have that produces that gravitational field. What we do know now is that in many situations, as you said, for example, in the universe, those two, when we count as much as we can the matter, and when we count as much as we can the strength of the gravitational field, and we put them together, they don't sum up. They're not equal. So there's clearly a mistake somewhere. And that mistake can be either on the side that determines matter and energy. For example, we say we might have dark energy. Or that mistake can be on the side that determines the force of gravity, in which case we have to change our theory of gravity and maybe talk about ideas in quantum gravity or in string theory to make that equality work out. We don't know yet which side of the equation the mistake is, which side of the equation needs to be changed, but that's exactly what we're looking to find out. All the options are available at this point.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. When you talk to scientists, subatomic particle scientists, you hear them saying, oh, you know, the Large Hadron Collider is going to be opening at CERN in Switzerland any day now.
Correct.
And that should answer some of these questions about gravity. Can you tell us what they mean by that?
Yes, actually, this is a rather speculative but extremely exciting possibility that there is a non-zero chance, if these ideas of universes with large extra dimensions are correct, that in the Large Hadron Collider, these enormous, very energetic collisions that they're producing are going to create microscopic black holes, microscopic on the size of a subatomic particle. Now, these black holes will not stay there, but they will evaporate very quickly. That evaporation is a quantum gravity phenomenon, a quantum gravity effect, something that the only way to understand it is by our current theories of trying to put together quantum field theories and gravity. And that evaporation will show up as a very, very unmistakable burst of energy. So if we understand, if we observe something like that, first of all, we will observe for the first time a phenomenon that is not described by Einstein's theory of general relativity, but is predicted by some ideas of quantum gravity. And more importantly, we will have all the tools that we will need in order to try to make up, theories, try to change Einstein's theory of gravity, unify the theories in order to reproduce those experimental results. This is going to be really one of the biggest revolutions in science in the last 100 years.
So a negative result would be important also, but you don't see what you're there.
A negative result will be important also in the sense that you can use that in order to place rather strong constraints on the theories of large extra dimensions. One of our main hopes is that these theories are able to tell us why the force of gravity is so much weaker than all the other forces in the universe. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest hope that these theories will be right. If it turns out that we do not observe, not probably in the beginning, but later on when the experiments become better and more accurate, if we don't observe any of those black holes, then we will start constraining those theories a lot, and that will have some important implications for how we can understand why gravity is so much weaker than all the other forces.
Yeah, well, because when you think about it, your kitchen magnet is stronger than gravity.
Exactly. The point here is that you can, you know, you can have a fridge magnet and put it on the, on your fridge, and it will stay there, and you defy the force of gravity that is acted on the magnet by the entire Earth. So here you have a tiny little magnet that can overcome the gravitational force of the entire Earth. So gravity is indeed the weaker of all forces. On the other hand, when we go to really large systems, like astrophysical systems, then all the other forces are either, those scales are much bigger than where the other forces act, like the strong and the weak forces, or like in electromagnetism, you have the positive and the negative particles that cancel each other, and therefore you don't see any large-scale electromagnetic force. So it's really only gravity that stays. That's why cosmology and astrophysics are the main ways of testing ideas about gravity.
Now, the meeting in Tucson next week, is any of it open to the public so that the public might hear you guys debate?
Yes. First of all, for everybody who is here and is really interested to, and, you know, can be happy listening to talks with a lot of mathematics and a lot of equations, of course, they're welcome to come. But there's also going to be a public aspect of it. Professor James Peebles from Princeton University is going to give a public talk in the evening, Monday evening, at the observatory here, where he's going to discuss the expanding universe and current ideas about dark energy and dark matter. And, of course, that is open to the entire public.
When you guys are meeting in closed session, and how shall I put it? Do the opinions heat up at all? I mean, do you have a frank exchange of views, as they say in Washington?
I guess we are people as much as the politicians are, in the sense that in the beginning the conference always starts happy and polite, and if we are lucky, it will end up the same way. But there are some situations, of course, where you know, as I said, prejudices are very hard to overcome sometimes, and you know, it comes for an interesting conference. It comes for an interesting discussion when things get hit up a little bit. But that's part of, you know, of human interaction,
sure.
I guess.
Sure. There's passion. There's passion
about
this.
Yeah, exactly. We're all very passionate about that. We're not here for the money. We're here for the for the passion, I guess.
I guess we're all in the same business then.
Yeah, exactly.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with Dimitri Saltis about the upcoming Gravity Conference next week in Tucson on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's see if we can go to the phones, get a call in or two about gravity. Ken in Cleveland. Hi, Ken.
Hi, great show. Hey, quick question. I'll take my comment off the air, or your comments off the air, rather. I heard that theoretically graviton particles should exist, but they don't. And I also heard a theory that gravity could be possibly the result of or an effect caused by a parallel universe. Do either of those hold any credence?
Dr. Salt?
Okay, thanks.
The first aspect of it is what we discussed earlier about whether you can put the theory of general relativity in the same context as the other quantized quantum field theories. When gravity is seen as purely as a warping of space-time, then there is no graviton involved with that. You know, things move on straight lines in a non-straight space-time. That's why they feel we assign to them a gravitational force. However, there's no exchange of gravitons between them. On the other hand, if we're talking about gravity as a quantum field theory, then the only reason that that particles interact with each other with gravitational force is because of the exchange of the gravitons. Do they exist? Do they not? If you believe that we will find at some point a unified field theory to describe that, then they should exist. But again, this is the kind of thing that we will be discussing this coming week. The second question, which I forgot already.
Well, we'll move on to Eli.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Eli in Vermilion, South Dakota. Hi, Eli. Go ahead.
Hi. I would like to know if any mathematicians are invited and to what extent topology and multivariable calculus play a role in your study. I'll take my comments off of you.
Any mathematicians invited? Well, that is very interesting because the theory of general relativity is extremely mathematical, and in many ways, everybody who is working on it has to be very up to speed with mathematics. There are indeed a couple of people that are part of the conference that are formally affiliated with math departments, and you know, as you said, tensor geometry, multicalculus, topology, and all those things are, you know, tools that we're all using every day in describing gravitational phenomena.
If you have to ask, are you in the camp? Where do you stand in the camp about the recent critiques and criticisms of string theory? Are you still a believer in string theory?
I want to say that it is a very exciting possibility, and it's a very exciting, it's probably, from my point of view, one of the best exciting possibilities for how we can unify the forces. Myself, I spend a lot of time in the East Coast at, you know, the Institute for Advanced Study and at Harvard and places where, you know, I've been completely indoctrinated by string theory.
You're drunken from the Kool-Aid there.
Exactly. But, yes, I really think that it's one of our best hopes. And after all, if it turns out to be right, it's going to be totally, totally remarkable. And, you know, we'll all be here to see. When string theory first started, it was impossible to... it seemed that it was impossible that we will ever be able to produce any experiments or any observations to test it. What we're doing now with the cosmos, with the forces of between particles at sub-inch distances, sub-millimeter distances, and with the black holes, it seems that we might be able to test things that string theory predicts, and therefore mm-hmm. this might be a testable theory after all.
Well, I wish you good luck in your conference, and I hope you come out with some great results.
Thank you very much. I really hope so, too.
Good luck to you. Dr. Demetrios Saltis is Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson, talking about a conference of physicists in Tucson next week. Kimberly Jones is our technical director. Our audio engineers, our audio engineer in New York is Manoli Weatherill, working the board herself today and doing a great job. Linda Mack in Washington and Greg Smith composed our theme music. We had help today from NPR librarian Kim Molesky. If you have comments or questions, surf over to Science Friday's website, sciencefriday.com. Leave us email there, or you can send us letters the classic mail way. Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. And while you're at our website, you can check out Science Friday's Kids Connection, free teaching material. Also, we're podcasting and blogging, and we have a nice crowd on Facebook. So you can join a Science Friday group there. And also Squidoo. Leave some information behind at squidoo.com. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.